Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Harry Truman became president when Franklin Roosevelt died in 1944 and soon was facing some of the toughest decisions of any presidency. His path to the White House was somewhat unconventional, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes. But first, the Missouri History Museum's Teens Make History program is a year-long program designed to help young people stretch their range of skills and interests. That includes writing plays that explore St. Louis history and that this year fit into the 250th birthday of St. Louis. We'll be talking about the program and the current play that looks at one of today's urban realities, kids making tough decisions. With me in studio, Ellen Kuhn, Teen and Adult Interpretive Programs Coordinator at the Missouri History Museum. Romeus Gauz is a pre-med and performing arts double major junior at UMSL who's been associated with Teens Make History since 2008. Amisha Payne is a senior at Carnahan High School and has been with the program since the spring of 2013. Thanks all so much for coming in. Nice to see
you
all.
Thank you.
Nice to see you too.
Ellen, let me begin with you. Give me kind of the overview of the Teens Make History program, what it is and why.
Teens Make History is a work-based learning program at the Missouri History Museum. And so the students are all paid employees of the museum, and it's designed specifically to teach professional skills that are important in any kind of workplace environment, so not just in a museum setting, but skills like teamwork, cooperation, communication skills, accountability, learning how to dress appropriately and clock in and clock out, those kinds of things. And so the teens complete real work projects for the Missouri History Museum. They do everything from museum theater to exhibit projects, and they're all team-based and they're project-based, so they're kind of getting integrated learning both in that setting and from each other. So it's a diverse group of students from around the St. Louis region in the sense of they're coming from very different economic and social backgrounds, and they're coming together to complete high-quality projects for the Missouri History Museum.
What's the age range of the students, and how do they get to you?
So students in their sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school are eligible for Teens Make History. They first have to go through what's called the Teens Make History Academy, which is an 8-week-long museum studies workshop. And during that time, the teens get to explore all different types of museum work, from everything from marketing to communications, to research, to digital media. And during that time, the teens really get to know the museum, and we get to know the teens as well. So following the Teens Make History Academy, they can apply for a paid apprenticeship with the Missouri History Museum, either as a member of the Teens Make History Players, who write, research, and perform plays, or the Teens Make History exhibitors who do kind of more behind-the-scenes exhibit projects.
I gather the folks we have with us today with you are with the Players program, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Because we'll be talking about that play. Let me ask the young team members, if I may. I'll start with you, Amisha. What has this program meant to you in the year or so you've been involved?
I'll start off by saying that it's a family to me. If anything, it's given me the opportunity to, I guess, get to know myself more and get to know others as well, better, in a better perspective than I've ever been able to know a person. To me, it's more so about being able to relate to others in a way that you wouldn't fathom, you know, to relate to them. And I guess the key thing out of it all is just getting to know yourself in a way that, I guess, no other in a way that, like, you wouldn't be able to get to know yourself if you weren't brought through something that's that means a lot to you.
You just did it through traditional
exactly.
Kinds of channels. Romeus, how about you? What is you've been at it for a long time now.
Yeah.
You're going to keep doing it until you get it right? Is that the way?
I'm going to be here till I'm about 30, so in about 10 years.
What has it meant to you? How have you grown during the, about 6 years now, I guess, you've been involved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And during these 6 years, it's been really, I guess, not overwhelming, but powerful for me to come in as a young 14-year-old African-American male and to still be here as a 20-year-old. It's more so like a second home to me. It's like second nature. So I enjoy waking up every day coming to the Missouri History Museum for Teens Make History. And it's given me a chance to really have self-growth and to grow as a person, like Amisha said, like with confidence, self-esteem, respect for yourself and others. And so it's not really, it's more than a show for us. It's a chance for us to really get to know ourselves and to get to know the people around you in a safe, comfortable setting.
You both talked about how you get to know yourselves. What goes on in the program that enables you to do that?
I guess the interaction with each other. We can all crack jokes with each other. We can laugh. And you get to learn more about people than you would really get to know them for. And so, like Amisha, she's like my little sister. So I wouldn't trade her for the world. Yeah. And so we can open up to each other. I can call her and say, hey, Amisha, I'm going through something. And she'll sit there and give me advice and vice versa. So we really just work well with each other. We mesh well with each other. So like Amisha said, we're a big, happy family.
We are.
Amisha, do you get along with the others as well as you do with Romeo's?
I do. It's every person is different. You take every person to be, you know, have their own different qualities about them, characteristics. But, I mean, in the end, it's like we're family. So you adjust to even your own biological family, and you have to deal with their problems and everything that comes with them. And so that's the greatest thing.
Ellen, tell us what you see as you watch these young people develop and evolve over the course of the program. What kinds of things do you see and take note of?
I definitely see a growth in terms of the self-esteem and confidence, in terms of what the teens are able to accomplish and how they see that they are able to accomplish those things. Teens Make History is really about giving ownership to the teens, and I think that ownership really helps the teens to develop those skills and that confidence. I also see a lot of figuring out how to work with people from different backgrounds, which is really important in any kind of workplace environment or just life in general, is learning to work with people that you don't necessarily have to be best friends with the people you work with, but you certainly need to show respect. And so we have to figure out as a group, as we're working together, how to cooperate, how to write as a group. For instance, the players, the Teens Make History players, they write together as a group, which group writing is an exceptional challenge. And so while they're talking about being one big happy family, I would say there are those days when it's difficult to get work done, simply because people are dealing with all kinds of outside issues as well that they bring to the table.
What is it about a play that you find is beneficial to this whole program, aside from the working together and the difficulties of writing it?
Well, besides the writing, in terms of, I think that really helps with written and oral communication skills, just being able to do all the research and the writing for that. The next step of putting the play together, you're figuring out how to, one, work together as a cast. When you're on stage, you're dependent on your teammates to support you. And so we do a lot of improv exercises in order to help the teens figure out how to work together on stage, so that creativity and flexibility are also really important in a performance setting, so that you're able to respond to situations that come up when you have a rowdy audience of little kids who might not always be paying attention. And I think that the really critical thing is empathy and learning how to relate to other people. So when the teens are able to step into roles of people that they wouldn't otherwise know, they're able to build connections. And the Missouri History Museum is about building empathy and building community. And so I think that's really critical, that the performance environment, being able to step into somebody else's shoes and helping audience to do that as well.
Amisha Payne, give me a brief synopsis of this play. St. Louis Now is the name of it?
St. Louis
correct?
Now.
Okay.
Yes. So there's a young boy named Bobby who is suffering from a lot of problems, a lot of challenges, and it's actually the summer. They're finishing up their last year of high school.
Their junior year.
Junior year of high school. And Bobby's forced with either choosing to stay with the friends that he has or to switch over to being in a gang, because not only is he battling with his mother having chronic depression, there's also him trying to find a job, trying to find an outlet to everything that's going on around him. And he actually decides to meet up with a couple of guys, and these guys are not a positive influence on his life. And he's also forced with having to choose friends who have stuck with him all his life
over the gang.
Yes. And it's more so you have people in his ear that are positive, but others, on the other hand, that are negative. And he's listening to the negative ones more than the positive ones. And with the outcome, the outcome that's going to be shown in this play is not, was not the best decision.
Romulus, how much of this particular play comes from personal experience, a firsthand observation?
Yeah, I think we all have personal connections to the story. Like myself, I actually play Bobby, the teen, and I can relate to a lot of things that Bobby went through with similar issues like with school and education, trying to find a job and steady income to help himself, having family issues. And I'm very open, and I was not part of a gang, but I knew people who were part of a gang who tried to peer pressure me into joining the gang. And so part of me was like, okay, maybe I can't hang out with them if I want to be that cool kid in high school. And if you're not that cool kid, then you're just a nobody. And so I did have, like, that low self-esteem, that kind of, what's the word for it? I can't figure out the word. But I wasn't really happy with myself, so I just did things that a teen wouldn't normally do. So I kind of followed through the negative crowd, and I had my friends by there telling me, Romeus, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. Romeus, what are you doing? You know, you need to get out of this. And so I was able to listen to them, and they were able to help me, you know, have a better outlook on life.
Amisha, I've read the play, and this is very much reflected in the play, is it not?
Yes.
It's not just Bobby making a tough decision and having to wrestle with that. It's his friends, his peers, who are actually working to bring him back on the right track.
Yes.
That's very much a part of the story.
It is. And then you also, not only do you have just his friends, you have someone like his aunt, Ruth, who I actually play. And I'm taking care of Bobby now because my sister is not in his mother is not in the stable condition that she needs to be in. And she actually suffers from chronic depression. So not only am I trying to help her, I'm trying to help Bobby, and I'm trying to help myself. I'm battling bills on top of bills and trying to feed my family. So, I mean, you have his friends that are going through things that are, and they're trying to put Bobby before all of them. And then you have his aunt who's trying to do the same thing. And the end result is that you have to be wise on your decision. And at first, Bobby was not wise, but he was forced to take a different path to that.
Well, not many people in their teenage years are all that wise.
Exactly.
So that's why it's so difficult for all of them. Very quickly, before I take a break, Ellen, you're watching the evolution of this play and it developed. What were you seeing with regard to the way they were putting it together?
Well, we started out by having lots of conversations about issues that face the city today. So we did a lot of brainstorming sessions in terms of things that the teens like about the city, going to the Loop and hanging out at Taste of St. Louis, those kinds of things, to issues that are really important, things like education. That was another one that we really looked at seriously. But at the end, when we made the ultimate decision of asking, what do you really want to talk about? They made a vote, and they said they wanted to talk about gun and gang violence and just all those issues that come about that in terms of peer pressure. And I think in terms of watching them write the play, I saw a lot of figuring out how to deal with emotions in terms of watching them go through the rehearsal process, just as Romeus said, dealing with the emotions that you have to bring to the stage in that setting are really critical. And I've also really noticed just how important it is in the show for the characters themselves to speak up and say, hey, look, this is what we are facing. You know, we're not just little kids, and you need to listen to these issues. And I think that's really important, that that's a prominent theme that wasn't necessarily there. We weren't setting out to do that when we wrote the play. But just the idea that that these teens are facing these issues and that they are the ones that have to deal with them, and we shouldn't be treating them lightly.
We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the process of putting all this together. There are 13 people involved in writing. Is my number correct?
Yes, correct.
That's a lot of people to sit down and write something. We'll come back and pick it up on that point. Ellen Kuhn is with us. You just heard from her, the Teen and Adult Interpretive Programs Coordinator with the Missouri History Museum. Romeus Gause and Amisha Payne are part of the museum's Teens Make History program, and we're talking about a play that this group has produced called St. Louis Now. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation about the Missouri History Museum program Teens Make History in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Candidates for Illinois governor and other offices make public their second quarter fundraising totals today. The results will likely show a big money battle between Republican candidate Bruce Rauner and Democratic incumbent Governor Pat Quinn. The organization Forest Park Forever announced some new improvements to the park today. It says it will spend $2 million in donated funds to heat and renovate three restrooms, add year-round drinking fountains, and overhaul that is, road and path signage. And a federal judge has granted a stay of execution for John Middleton hours before he is scheduled to be put to death in Missouri. A U.S. district judge ruled today that there is enough question about whether Middleton is insane and that a hearing should be held to determine if he should be executed. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day at our website at sdlpublicradio.org. Now back to our guests in studio, Ellen Kuhn, Romeo Scows, and Amisha Payne. We're talking about a program at the Missouri History Museum in which all of these folks are involved. And let me come back to the idea of putting together this play, St. Louis Now. 13 people are involved in the play, in writing it and also performing it. Amisha, how tough is it to get 13 people to sit down and agree on writing a play?
It's very tough. You have different aspects coming from each and every person. But you're able to have patience with it all. It brings patience because you have someone that's saying, no, I don't think that's right. Then you have another person that's saying, no, I think we should change that. So I guess it's more so you have to be able to agree to disagree at times. And then sometimes you just have to agree and just agree on one thing. But I think more so the reason why we were able to agree so fast was because a lot of us dealt with this issue. A lot of us lost family members to being affiliated in a gang or just losing someone in general. Or just having a family member who is struggling, like any family, you know, goes through that in some way, shape, or form. But it was very, very, very hard to deal with that.
Did you bring your personal story into it? I know you lost your father when you were very, very young.
I did. And not only did I bring that in, I also brought in, because every time that I do the character or portray the character that I portray, I think of my mother. So I also brought into it my mother and my father in this.
You know, they say that an elephant was probably designed by a committee. That's what makes us think that writing this play had to be that difficult. Did you encounter any problems, Romeo, in trying to put it together?
Yeah, I guess learning patience with the teens and really putting yourself out there, because I am playing a character who is basically myself, so putting myself into my own shoes and being so vulnerable on stage. And I lost my cousin a few years ago to gun violence. He was just walking out, going to church, minding his own, and was shot.
What was the process by which you decided to guns and gang violence and gangs and gun violence would be your subject?
I think we chose the subject just because we all, teens now, are facing these issues today. It's all over the media. It's really in your face. And teens don't have outlook on things perfectly, nor do we all, but really, the teens today are facing these issues, and we want to show them there is a way out. There is a positive outlook on these things. And so we're able to show them, hey, you don't have to join this gang, or you don't have to always carry a gun. You can feel safe with your friends or with your family, even with you going through so many issues, battling with yourself, school, education, stability financially, and living arrangements. You are able to find comfort in yourself and your friends.
Yeah. Ellen, in order to get this message out, the people who would be most affected by it have to see it. How can they see it, and will it hit the audience at whom it's directed?
Well, performances are Wednesdays and Thursdays at 11 o'clock at the Missouri History Museum in the Lee Auditorium, and they're also on Saturdays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the Lee Auditorium. Performances will be running through August 2nd of this summer.
We'll put that information on our website. But how are you trying to attract the audience that really needs to see this?
The Teens Make History summer performances are really geared towards camp groups and school summer groups that come to the Missouri History Museum during the summer as a group. And so those camp groups are all getting to see this show. And I think for the Teens Make History players, after the shows, they always do a question and answer session with the audiences. And at that point, I think the teens are really able to tell their younger peers just all those important things that they keep reiterating about staying positive and about how you're not alone in this. And so I think they're doing a really good job of reaching out to their younger peers who might also be facing the same thing.
Amisha, what kind of tough questions do you get from your audiences?
How does this play relate to your life? Also, well, we don't really have like too many tough questions. We have more so how can my child get into this program? But the one that I've heard before is, how does this play relate to your life? And I think that's about it.
Are you reaching the audience so far that you really need to reach with this, Romeus?
Yeah, I think everyone who came to see the show has had a chance to think about St. Louis now and our future. And so I do think our audience now, you know, who comes to see the show at the Missouri History Museum, I do think that they have a new outlook on life, whether it's you're a young child or if you're a teen around our age. I think we're really hitting home the message saying, you know, you're not alone. You know, you can't reach out to somebody. You have to speak up in order to be heard.
How do your peers in your neighborhoods react to you, and I'll start with you, Romeus, and then to me, react to you being a part of this program and doing what you're doing?
A lot of my peers actually cheer me on with this program. They're saying, wow, you're still in a program after 6 years? Like, that's crazy. I can't even hold a job for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so my peers are really cheering me on, and they're asking me, well, how can my sister or cousin join this program? And so I have people who want to join the program this coming up year.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's another way of reaching the audience that you want to reach with that. Misha, how about you?
My peers, they motivate me. Mm-hmm. Let me start off by saying that. Not only do they motivate me, they give me the influence to do something different from what others are doing. Not having the same job that everyone else has, not working in fast food, for example. Nothing's wrong with it, but I just, like, I'm different in a way, if I may say. And it just, I mean, you need to have people behind you that support you and know that you can, if you can strive for excellence, that they can strive for excellence. So it's a matter of just being able to have the courage because you have others around you who help you to have that courage.
Where do you hope to take all of this?
Just, I guess, in every path that I'm going down, through every challenge, every tribulation that I will face, just being able to look back at this and to say that I learned so much from the Teens Make History program, from working at the Missouri History Museum, and in every profession that I may, you know, go into, it's a lifelong thing.
And Romeus, how about you?
I think kind of the same thing as Amisha. You know, I'm going to take this everywhere that I go. I actually take it to school with me, with learning how to speak up, by asking questions. If I have a question about something, I don't know, I would kind of just kind of really kind of figure it out by myself. But now I've the person who would sit in the front and take notes and raise my hand every 3 seconds saying, hey, I don't get this. Hey, can you explain this a little more? Can you go more into detail about it? And so, like, to reiterate again, self-growth. So I really learned a lot about myself through this program while growing up in high school and going to college.
Well, you know, I have to think, with a pre-med and performing arts double major, I have to think you're going to become like a dancing doctor or something.
Maybe.
who knows? And maybe we need more dancing doctors or singing doctors. I want to thank you both for being with us. Ellen, one more time, how can people who have heard this and might like to become involved, how can they do so?
So we'll begin accepting applications for the Teens Make History Academy this fall in September. We'll go through a round of interviews in the winter, and the Teens Make History Academy will begin in January of 2015. We hold that annually each year from January through March.
All righty. Well, again, all that information will be available on our website at stopublicradio.org. Thanks, Ellen Kuhn, for being with us. Romeus Gauss and Amisha Payne.
Thank you.
Thank
Continued success and good luck to all of you with the program. And one of these days, Romeus, maybe you'll actually go on and do something else. You've been with us so long now. But congratulations to all of you. Great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, the long and winding road that led Harry S. Truman to the presidency. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.